All right, welcome to Me.
Yes, it's the podcast
with... about bullshit.
Yeah, well, it's about us, the men behind the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so right now, for my outfit, it's just what I normally wear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing nothing at all.
Yeah, God. Are you sure you just don't want to put on a towel or something?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the idea behind this, I guess, is just to split me time away from focused topics. So instead of, you know, discussing Lucy and Hearthstone and the Blair Witch, we just talk about what we've been doing.
Yeah, what we've been doing over... you know, the past couple of weeks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We're just going to talk about what games we've been playing and what we've been up to. So, Zach, if you want to...
Yeah, sure, I'll start. Yeah. So, I've played a couple of Telltale games. So I played the Game of Thrones one.
Okay.
And I played Tales from the Borderlands.
Yeah, I've... have you played Borderlands?
Yeah.
The actual game?
Not the first one. I played the second.
Okay.
And I didn't play the pre-sequel.
Okay. So, did you have to know any sort of backstory before you start playing that game, or was it able to sort of immerse you?
Yeah, you kind of needed to know the backstory, because it happens after Borderlands 2.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to know who Handsome Jack is.
Handsome Jack is hilarious.
He is hilarious. One of the main characters looks too much like him, so that... I mean, I know what they're going for is, like, that the corporate look of the far-flung future is random, like, 80s vibes, but also weird eyes that do these alternate things. But
yeah,
like,
you gotta have your Bato eyes.
Yeah. Mr. Roboto eye, yeah.
Bato from Ghost in the Shell. With his crazy eyes.
Oh, yeah, that is his name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, where he can, like, see certain things
right.
And stuff like that, like heat vision and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and that's kind of how the eye in this functions on Reese.
Is that the main character?
Yeah, that's one of the main characters.
No, okay.
I forget the other two's names because... So, my problem with Tales from the Borderlands is it's very railroady.
But aren't most of the Telltale games railroady?
Well, I mean, so they kind of are.
And can you explain railroad just
for... Oh, yeah. So basically, it's you have small choices here and there, but the end goal is predetermined, predefined, and your choices really don't matter at all in your journey.
So you're starting off at a top point.
Yeah.
It spreads out. But then at a midpoint, it starts focusing or funneling back to an option of yes or no, basically.
Yeah, basically, instead of looking like a cone, where I would say an open world game, your decisions look like a cone, right? You can go out an infinite number, well, as many ways as has been pre-programmed, but as many ways as you would like Skyrim.
Yeah.
For example, like you don't even, I know people that have logged like 150 hours in that game and they haven't touched the main story.
Yeah.
whereas these games, the decisions, like you said, look more like a diamond where it's like, okay, it looks like there's a lot of different things going on, but really they're not. Yeah. Like Game of Thrones, I think hides that a little bit better because I finished it with certain characters dying because it's Game of Thrones.
I mean, everybody dies in Games of Thrones.
I'm curious to see if there's any way to keep certain characters alive because several times it's a choice of, well, do you want this character to die or this character to die? One of them is going to die.
Yeah, so you can't say both of them.
It's just up
to you. You can't say both of them. Yeah.
But one of the characters is separated from the other, so she's the only one. So I'm wondering if I could have replayed it and maybe had things work out better for her.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not that invested in it to see if that's an option, really. So I much prefer the art style to the Game of Thrones version.
Yeah. Okay. And it's still, because I haven't played either of these games, but I have played The Walking Dead with Clementine and everything. And that art style is this cell shading, right?
Yeah, so the cell shading, The Walking Dead's version looks a lot closer to the Batman version that they did.
Okay.
The Borderlands looks like it's weird gonzo cell shading like you'd expect. Like, yeah, it looks exactly like it.
Like Borderlands, yeah. You want to see that Borderlands style, because Borderlands has a unique style.
Right.
When it comes to that. And it kind of, like, borders on cell shading, too. Like,
Yeah, well, and the thing I liked about the Game of Thrones one, though, is they used... It looked like they used the same artist as the one that animated the Fables one. I forget that one. But,
yeah.
But it looks like the characters are done in watercolor instead of, like, the hard lines of a comic book.
Okay.
So it makes it look unique. They got actual show cast members to do voices.
Oh, like, that's really good.
Yeah, they got... Well, I don't know their actual names, so I'll... Amelia Clark is the only one that I know her
name. Ooh, Amelia Clark.
Yeah, she's Daenerys. Oh. And, yeah, all the characters are voiced by their counterparts in the show.
Okay.
It's interesting, the storyline for it, though, because it focuses on House Forrester.
Okay.
Which is not in the show.
I've never seen the show.
Oh, you haven't?
I have not.
Okay, well, so...
I've read 100 pages of the first book, and I never finished those 100 pages.
Just not your style?
You would think. Like, it's high fantasy. It's...
Yeah.
It's really descriptive, because I enjoyed the...
World building is really good.
Yeah, the Wheel of Time books I enjoyed. I just never got into it.
Yeah, no, I like them. I'm going to wait for him to either finish the series or die and then read what he has put out.
I mean, I'm sure he's going to have some other author take over his work. Sort of like what...
Like Brandon Sanderson.
Did. Yeah, for Robert Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So out of those... Because you played the three, right? You played Batman, Borderlands...
No, I played Batman a while ago. I played Game of Thrones and Tales from the Borderlands.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to me that, you know, the show for Game of Thrones has changed certain things in the books.
Mm-hmm.
House Forrester is never in the show, but they're mentioned in the books.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a way to bridge that. I don't expect the second season to come out before the... Like, if it comes out at all,
yeah,
it will come out before this final season comes out in 20... I think it comes out in 2019.
All right.
Or so.
Yeah.
I
know there's a Lich Dragon.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, spoiler.
Spoilers.
Oops.
So, the Metacritics, you know, Game of Thrones got 75. Tales from the Borderlands got 86.
Yeah.
I think those numbers should be reversed. Really? Tales from the Borderlands is not...
Here's what I see. Because I played both of the three of the border. Borderlands, the first one.
Right.
Borderlands, number two. And right. then the pre-sequel one.
Yeah.
Borderlands, number two, being hands down probably the best out of the three.
Sure.
But it just has that sort of sense of humor. It's able to poke fun of itself and sort of convey a silly message. So you think that would be more conducive of...
I think it's because you're with these characters for longer periods of narrative time.
Okay.
That they can't crack as many jokes, really.
Yeah.
Because the Tales from the Borderlands, the sections that I enjoyed interacting with the most were the beginnings of each chapter, because they do that like music video look, like how it opens up.
Yeah.
Right? They have a popular artist playing a song, and then something's going
on. So it's not always Cage the Elephant?
No, it's not always Cage the Elephant. I wish it were. But like one of the chapters opens and they've kind of interspliced a QuickTime event, but it opens up, and the vehicle that the characters are all in is careening out of control. It's been ripped in half, and they're being shot at by these guys behind them, and you're trying to keep one of the characters from falling out of the vehicle.
Yeah, it seems like typical Borderlands thing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's humor there. I think the Metacritic for... The Metacritic ratings for the game should be reversed.
Okay.
I think Game of Thrones is more... It seems like there were more choices available.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a little bit more work went into the writing, because with Tales from the Borderlands, I had the same criticism of the Batman version.
Mm-hmm.
It... Basically, there was no telling how long a chapter would last, because, you know, there's 5 or 6 chapters, right? Yeah. Some of them last 30 minutes, some of them last an hour. So yeah, it's kind of a crapshoot.
Yeah.
Whereas the Game of Thrones, each one was paced out at about an hour.
Okay.
So it was more roundly fulfilling. Like,
mm-hmm.
I got them all collected through the PS Plus thing, so...
Yeah, it's a good deal.
Yeah, like, I wasn't waiting for them to come out, but I know if I were paying for them as they were coming out, that would be a letdown to be like, well...
Yeah, because they usually run about, what, like 15? Per season?
Per season, usually, I think that it's more like 25 or 30.
Okay, yeah. Because I usually play most of my games on Steam, and I remember, I think it was
during...
So
there's probably
like,
a discount there.
Though, yeah.
Because I buy them on disc, usually.
Yeah, it was, I think it was like a Halloween...
Oh, gotcha.
Sale, and they were selling a bunch of the zombie games, so that fit well with
The Walking Dead. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, and you know, I guess that brings me to the point of why I played them is artificially inflating my gaming prowess.
But,
because the trophy system in PS4, it gives you a trophy when you complete a chapter.
Free trophy.
Free trophies. All I have to do is hit a button.
Yep.
I don't have to be invested in this story.
And it makes your number bigger, which makes your e-penis even larger.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what we're all looking for, a larger e-penis.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel about trophy systems? Because, like...
I do enjoy them. I think with certain games, it switches up the way that you play. Which is a nice segue into a game that I'm currently playing, which is Slay the Spire, which is on Steam.
Okay.
So,
and there's a trophy system in Steam?
There is. It's not trophies, it's achievements.
Achievements.
Yeah. But, you know, it's the same thing. It's the same. Yeah. So with this game, it's a deck-building game. Sort of like a deck-building game like Dominion. Where...
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
okay.
You start off the game. Right now, it is in early access. So, they have 2 characters. They're going to add a 3rd character.
Okay.
You can either pick a fighter or a thief character.
Hmm.
When you pick that character, he'll come with 10 cards. And they're all predetermined cards. But each... and then there's 3 levels. And then there's different paths to get to the boss. In
so
each
is it kind of
levels.
Like Card Hunter?
Maybe a little bit.
Okay.
Because when you go into a room, you usually fight a monster. And it's not like you're moving around your character or the monster's moving.
Oh, so it's more like a real-time, not real-time, turn-based?
Turn-based, yes.
Yeah.
So each turn you draw 5 cards. And you'll usually have your attack cards, your skill cards,
sure.
or your powers.
Okay.
Skill cards will usually be like blocks, which will give you a armor. So if the monster's attacking you for 7 damage, and you have 2 cards that say block 5, you can
sure.
get 10 block and block all of the damage. You have a life bar.
Okay.
But you have energy. And each card has a particular amount of energy it uses. So usually the typical starting off energy is 3 energy.
Okay.
So if you have like 2 block cards that block 5 damage, and you use those 2 cards, you can play a 1 energy attack card.
Hmm.
And each enemy that you kill, you get a choice of three different cards to add to your deck. So it's a management of, you don't want your deck getting too big, or the cards that you really need get kind of lost in the shuffle.
Sure.
Because you're only drawing five cards per turn.
Right.
Unless you have other cards that make you draw more cards, or you can get these artifacts that change sort of your build.
Like, yeah, you can hold two extra cards in your hand.
Yeah, or something. Gotcha. Or at the beginning of a combat, draw two additional cards. So you're drawing seven cards instead of five cards.
Okay.
And then when you're done with your deck, it shuffles, and then you draw normal.
Okay.
So it's sort of the way that you can manage your deck.
Sure.
So there's achievements in these games. And the achievements sort of allow you to do different builds.
Yeah.
Like there's one achievement that if you beat the game with a deck of five or less cards in your... if you beat the game with five cards in your deck or less. So it's a very lean deck. Yeah. Or there's a...
Well, I can see the strategy in that. Like, it would just be getting the same cards.
You would be drawing the same five cards over and over.
To, like, a hand for an entirety of combat.
Yeah.
It's just...
Once you use your cards, it cycles through.
Gotcha.
That's right. And then there's another one where it says, have 99 block. So you're building a build where you're very defensive.
Sure.
Yeah. So with those achievements, it's really fun because it switches up how you play the game. Because, you know, a game can get stale if you're running it doing the same thing.
Sure.
Right now I'm trying to get an achievement where you beat the game in 20 minutes, which is hard. Yeah, I've been watching some speedrunners do this game, and they can beat the game in like 6 minutes. But 20 minutes for me is difficult because you need a very lean deck. And you need, like, one gimmick. Usually you can have a deck that does multiple gimmicks.
So is this a roguelike? Is it different every
game? It is a roguelike.
Like, okay,
it
gotcha.
Is a roguelike.
Yeah, like,
yeah, sorry.
If you're saying beating it in 30 minutes or 20 minutes
20
or less.
Minutes. Yeah.
I was like, that's a hell of a thing, but why would you pay full price for a game? So it's infinitely replay. It's like Tower
it
of Guns or something.
It
like
is. Each level is different. It's randomly generated. Mm. And the cards that you pick are randomly generated and
sure.
things like that. Like, there's a list of, like, I think they have 50 cards. So,
okay.
you know, three cards out of a pool of 50 will get popped up. And you can choose.
Sure.
And you can always have, like, multiples of cards. So if you're trying to do, like, a gimmick of, like, strength, there's a big thing where you try to boost up a bunch of strength, so when you do an attack, it does extra damage because you have a bunch of strength.
Okay.
So you can have, like, the cards that do the same thing, which gives you strength.
Okay. Well, so I have a question, then,
mm-hmm.
for this.
Yeah.
If you're done describing
it. Yeah, that
okay.
was pretty much it. To get back to your original question... Yes, Steam has achievements, and yes, I do try to make my e-penis very large with the numbers, but...
So the question is then, because I had the same thing playing, I played the iOS version of Card Hunter, which, you know, it's like D&D, but with little paper figures, and you move them around a map.
Yeah.
That's... There are adventure packs that you follow, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Slay the Spire, or Slayer Spire?
Slay the Spire, yeah.
Slay the Spire
mm-hmm.
is a roguelike, so it's always different.
Mm-hmm.
Would you play this game if it were a tabletop version? Because it seems like it leans very heavily on a tabletop feel.
It doesn't, because there's no board. Each time
okay.
that you fight
gotcha.
An enemy... You're just, it's like a JRPG where you stand there and the monster stands there.
Okay.
The monster will basically say what it's going to do. It's
sure.
going to attack you for 10 points of damage.
Gotcha.
You
okay.
get your cards and you make a choice. You try to plan out your turn with those five cards and as much energy that you have,
sure.
plus the knowledge of what the monster is going to do. Mm-hmm. So let's say you have, you know, like 15 hit points. The monster is going to attack you for 20 damage. Well, you don't want to die, so you know that you're going to have to at least get 6 or more block.
Okay.
And then you're trying
gotcha.
To take out the monster's
sure.
Hit points.
So it's just using the mechanics of a tabletop game. Like, it wouldn't match. It wouldn't translate or adapt.
No.
Gotcha.
It would probably translate better on a an iOS game. Like, I could easily see playing this, like, on my phone or tablet. Yeah. There's just a lot of, like, I can see where it can take touch, like, recognition and stuff like that, where you click on cards and things like
that. Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. But a board game or a tabletop, nah. It probably wouldn't translate well on that.
Because, yeah, that occurred to me when I was playing through Card Hunter as me going, oh, this is kind of like a quick version of D&D, but it's basically Imperial Assault. Like, it's one of those.
Isn't Card Hunter, like, don't you have to pay for packs or something like that? Like,
you can. I don't.
Yeah.
I didn't get very far before dying either, but...
Yeah. At least with this game, you pay, and that's, I hate games that where, you know.
Oh, it's free, and then, but.
It's a freemium?
Yeah.
I mean, I say I hate those kind of games, but I love Hearthstone, so it's kind of a conundrum. Also, a little bit of housekeeping. You guys need to stop sending me emails. I know. I missed one of the expansions on the Hearthstone cast. I missed, The Old Gods, which is, you would love that game, or that expansion, because it was all, like, Cthulhu-like.
I do love Cthulhu-like craft.
There was this one card that they actually had to nerf. It was Yogg-Saron, Yogi Boy. Basically, when you played this minion, for each spell that you cast, for the entire game, so if you cast, like, 15 spells for that game, if you played this card, he would randomly cast 15 spells and randomly choose different, like, targets and stuff like that. So you could basically, like, fireball yourself to oblivion.
That's awesome.
Or he could wipe out the entire board and kill your opponent.
That is amazing.
It was all sorts of random. But yes, Whispers of the Old God, that's one of the expansions that I forgot when we were talking about Hearthstone.
Let's round it up in the errata now.
So. Hey. And another funny thing is, so our cast went Hearthstone and then Blair Witch. Well, after that, the new Hearthstone expansion came out, and it's Witchwood, and the way that they did the announcement video was found footage.
Yeah.
So, yes. We had no idea, but, like, it really flows in well. It
flows well with the way these are going to come out.
So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
But yes, I understand my inner struggle when I say I don't like games where you have to pay to win, but again, with Hearthstone, I don't think it's a pay to win thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, with Slay the Spire, all you do is, I believe it's $15, and then you get everything.
Oh, nice. I much prefer that.
Like, yeah.
I don't mind paying for a game as long as I get access to all of it.
And they do have a system where when you're going through those characters, they will level up. Like, your character will level up, and when your character level up, it unlocks more cards for the card pool.
Oh,
like, new cards with, like, new interesting mechanics and things like that. But yeah, that is one of the games that I've been playing. Cool. What else have you been up to?
So, I watched a few movies. I guess I'll talk about two of them at the same time, because they're kind of board gamey type movies.
Okay.
Beyond the Gates.
Haven't seen it.
Came out in 2016. I was looking online, $300,000 budget. There's no info on its box office, so I don't know if it ever came out in theaters, but it's on streaming. AV Club gave it a B. Rotten Tomatoes is 80. Basically, those old VHS horror board games? Nightmare,
yeah.
That we have on the shelf over there.
Yes.
It's very difficult to play without a VHS.
Yeah. Nowadays you can go on YouTube and...
We have played it with YouTube with the different gatekeeper videos. Yeah. But Beyond the Gates, basically the idea is that kind of like Jumanji, which I'll talk about in a second, the dad of this family gets sucked into a horror VHS game.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of weird creatures.
Was he just playing by himself? Was he like, I'm going to play by myself, and I get sucked in by myself?
If I'm being honest, I don't really remember, because the whole thing is that, like, these two brothers are closing up the VHS store that he used to run.
Yeah.
And so it's more like he was working on it and got sucked into it.
It wasn't like Jumanji where you play the game, you get sucked into the game.
Right. Yeah. Like, he kind of got sucked into it. It's got Barbara Crampton in it from Reanimator fame. I didn't know that she was still acting in anything.
Once you do Reanimator, you probably just, like, check it off, and you're like, I'm done.
Okay, I'm done. I don't want to be covered in gore anymore.
Yeah.
I recommend it. I think it's free on Prime.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then we saw because I had extra Fandango gift cards burning a hole in my pocket from Christmas, we saw the Jumanji sequel.
Yes. The Jumanji, it's not a board game, but it's a video game.
Yeah, which I have to say, have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
Okay.
But I've heard good things, actually.
So I went into it going, you know what, this looks like a big, dumb movie.
Well, it's got Dwayne Johnson, who's, like, in everything now?
Yeah. Well,
all the video games? I don't know,
he's really good in... Yeah, he is in Rampage, too.
Yeah, Rampage is coming out.
He's very good at being an action star and also a comedy.
Yeah.
A comedic actor.
Yeah.
He's got a very good straight delivery. But, the Welcome to the Jungle is, I think, is the subtitle to it.
How often did they play the song Welcome to the Jungle?
Just at the end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they didn't play it throughout the entire thing. But... Yeah. Yeah, like, I was really surprised. It was actually really, really good.
Okay.
They diverge a lot from the original game. Like, I can't tell. Like, they never really make a mention as to whether or not all of the crazy stuff happened. But then again, all of that gets wiped away at the end of the first movie.
Like, yes, with Robin Williams.
Yeah, with Robin, yeah. The Robin Williams one. So, it's like, okay, well, I guess it cleans up after itself and reworks the timelines, but
it's never mentioned, like, this is a board game.
Yeah, it's never really mentioned. Like, the movie opens with it on the beach, and then some dude finds it, takes it home, gives it to his kid, but this is in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this timeline, this guy's like, stupid board game. No one plays board games, and he's playing his SNES or his Genesis or whatever.
Yeah,
probably Genesis. And so it kind of reformats itself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What system did they play it on?
It's
generic.
It's a made up system. Oh, okay. It's not a. Yeah, it's just like a mock up. But it's surprisingly fun. Like I was blown away at how entertaining it was and how rewatchable it is.
So how good is Jack Black playing a teenage girl?
He's surprisingly good.
Oh, okay.
He's actually really funny. Like, it's... I can see how... Like, I've seen some criticism of, like, oh, he's playing it up, but then on the other hand, it's like, well, what do you expect him to do? He's a 40-year-old fat man. He's never been a teenage girl.
Yeah.
He's gonna have to kind of amp it up some to
yeah.
make it funny, but like I was looking at the stuff behind it, because that's what I do with these movies. Is so
I know you always have the stats.
I do. I have very impressive, all the like stats.
All of your stats.
So Rotten Tomatoes is 76%, which that's to borrow a hated phrase, some fake news. Cinema Score gives it an A.
Okay.
The budget is $110 million.
110, wow.
Yeah, 110
That's
million.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah. Do you know how much money it made?
I want to say more than that.
Yeah, it made more than that.
Did it Is double it? I'm going double.
You're
going
to double it? Yeah. Okay, it made $931.4 million.
Jeez, wow.
I
mean, The Rock pulls in a lot of folks.
Yeah, he pulls in a lot of folks.
Because I don't think it's Jumanji. I don't think it's...
It's a super weird choice for them to the original came out what 95
so yeah
that's 23 years
yeah and I remember it didn't make that great of an impact. The Jumanji,
I think
90s movie.
Kids love it. I liked it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I remember actually playing the board game that came out with the movie.
Yeah, my brother had that.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't anything to write home about, but you would roll dice, you would get these little cards that have that white and red spots on them, and you had to put it underneath the little dome to actually see what the card said, and it would be like, you're stuck in the jungle, lose your turn, and you're like, oh, dang, the jungle isn't, like, popping up.
Most of them were bad.
Yeah.
But, like, most of them were like, there's monkeys in your kitchen.
Yeah.
Lose two turns while you sort that shit out.
Which kind of sucks with board games because you're just kind of sitting there like, well, I'm not playing the game.
I'm not playing the game now.
I kind of wanted to play this, but all right.
I guess you're making me take my turn. And
thank you for punishing me, game, for playing you.
Yeah. Oh, man, now I want to make a board game that just punishes players. But,
but getting back to the movie.
Yeah, so getting back to the movie. So they are going to make a Jumanji 3.
Oh.
It's going to be a sequel to 2, but a prequel for the series.
Okay. I don't understand.
I don't know how that's going to work, but...
So, it's like they're playing Jumanji on an Atari? With their little...
I guess. I don't know how they're going to write that, but... I mean, good luck. Apparently they filmed it in Hawaii and Atlanta.
Which
I was looking... I can kind of figure out where they shot it in Atlanta, generally. And... all I know is the kid actors got the short end of the stick. Because that means that they were filming in Atlanta and the stars were filming in Hawaii. It's like, I would much rather film in Hawaii than...
How much, like, screen time do the kids get? Is it, like...
About maybe 10, 15 minutes at the front and 10, 15 at the back. Mainly the adults.
Yeah. Are the kid actors any good?
I mean, they're okay for kid actors. I mean, they're standard teenagers.
No, okay.
Like, they're all acting as archetypes, so they're not like...
I'm Big Jock Man. Let me Big Jock it up through a football.
Yeah, well, I mean, so there is some nuance to them. Like, the Big Jock guy is, like, friends with the geeky kid.
Yeah.
Or was at one point. But he's in school suspension or whatever because he got caught cheating on a test, even though he's smart. And like, there's something that makes them different, but it's not enough to really, like, it doesn't matter. Ultimately is what I'm saying. It doesn't matter.
Also, side note, did you know that Tenacious D is actually going to be playing here in Atlanta?
Yeah, I can't afford tickets to Shaky Knees.
Oh, yeah.
It's at Shaky Knees, and we were looking because... I love Jack White. He's one of the headliners.
Oh, I didn't know that Jack White was playing, too.
Yeah, because so he just
Black
had an album count.
And Jack White
are there.
Wow, it's going
to
be like...
The universe might melt with them being in proximity to each other. They may have to be careful getting on the stage.
Yeah,
but
or touching each other.
And and also Queens of the Stone Age, who is my favorite band, are one of the headliners, I think, on Saturday night.
Jeez, this sounds just like right up your alley.
Yeah, like there's like 30 or 40 bands there, and I like almost all of them. And it's like, God. But
you can always sue the Music Midtown thing that we do. Music Midtown is another music fest here in Atlanta.
Don't take his advice. It's probably illegal.
I mean, it's not illegal. Like, they can't stop you from listening.
Yeah.
You just, you go, since it's near a park, just go near the park and you just listen to it.
Yeah,
you don't actually get to see the band, but you still get the groove
out.
Yeah.
I mean, makes sense. I might spend some time in Midtown that day.
Yeah, just like listening to stuff.
Yeah, like,
I mean, there may or may not be like you climbing up a building and camping on the building.
You may.
So you could see. I'm not saying that I do that.
Yeah, no, we totally have never done that.
Yeah, so, you know. If the glove doesn't fit, you must quit.
Like we both want to go to see Shaky Knees, like me and my wife, but but they tickets are like $250. A ticket, like
that's expensive.
I can't justify that. Like, I love live music, but I can't justify that.
Yeah.
Also, from what I could tell online with people that I still follow from like when I was freelancing stuff, press have to pay for their own badges.
Yeah, okay, so you can't, like, try to sneak in. Or so not
you can't,
sneak,
not you, sneak in, but you can't like, get, apply like, for a press badge or anything.
Because yeah. We really would totally do that and do this on the podcast and be like...
Well, yeah, no, I totally would. I would do video and everything, but, like...
You still have
you
to
just,
pay.
You still have to pay. I mean, unless the festival are just handpicking who gets the free badges.
And I'm sure they are. They're probably picking, like, you know, important media outlets and things along those lines.
Yeah, that, like, I would be really surprised if there is a correspondent there from these publications. I would be really surprised if a Rolling Stone reporter was paying. Yeah. I'd be surprised if a Pitchfork player or writer was paying.
But I'm sure there's a local free newspaper here in Atlanta called Creative Loafing. I'm sure that Creative Loafing is probably paying.
They're paying. Yeah, so that's
random topic.
random side note. The last thing that I guess I could talk about would be
Were you finished on the Jack or not the Jack? The Jumanji was.
Yeah, I mean more or less. Like it's fun, and I could totally see playing a video game adaptation of this movie.
Okay.
I have a feeling that if this movie came out shortly after the first Jumanji movie, we would have gotten a Sega Genesis or a Super NES adaptation.
I'm sure, yeah.
So
thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up, go see it. Yeah. Thumbs up, go see it to both Beyond the Gates and Jumanji.
Yeah, well, I mean, with Beyond the Gates, all you have to do is get, like, Prime or...
Yeah, which most people I know have, or at least they share an account with someone.
Yeah, who has Prime. Well, moving on to me, another game that I've been playing is Into the Breach. Into the Breach is hilariously, not hilarious, it's fun. It's made by the same company who did FTL, Faster Than Light.
I don't think I played that.
It was a good game. It was a spaceship management game where you have a spaceship, you have a crew of folks, you're upgrading that ship and managing it so you could get better systems or more armor, more shields.
Okay.
And at the end of it, you would fight like the big evil ship.
Okay.
Again, it's a roguelike. And this game.
Wait, how is it a roguelike? Are you taking your.
Well, it's a different. You can choose different ships.
Okay.
And the way that you get to the big bad guy at the very end is randomly generated.
So
the path that you're taking is just random.
Okay.
With random events. Gotcha. So you could take one path and end up fighting people, or you could take another path where you need to, like, send one of your crew members down, and that crew member could die.
Sure.
Or the crew member could save somebody, and you get an extra crew member.
Huh.
Because each system, if you have a crew member there, it boosts the system. But if the system's running on, like, autopilot or something like that, it performs, but it doesn't perform to the optimal level.
Okay.
And then your ship can get boarded. But the greatest thing about that is you can open up doors on your ship. So instead of fighting them, I usually just open up the door to the vacuum of space. So all the oxygen starts getting sucked out. Well, they don't get sucked out. They just start dying because there's no oxygen there.
Yeah.
And your ship has an oxygen system. So a ship could actually like focus attack on your oxygen system and destroy it. And then you have to like get crew members running to that system and trying to repair it before all of your oxygen's gone and you just die.
So what are the graphics to this? Because I'm imagining like, do you remember Load Runner? I'm imagining something like cutesy like that.
It's not cutesy. It's
like grimdark.
18-bit and 18. It's like
16-bit
like, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Where you know it's a little black. Block folks.
Oh, okay. So it's just like a representational like.
Yeah, and you have your standard ship that just moves.
Sure.
And the ship just is very static, so you know where everything is.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. And then the company came out with this game called Into the Breach. And it's another fantastic game that I really enjoy.
Okay.
It's gotten overwhelming popular reviews on Steam. I don't have all the stats for it. actually, when you were talking, I was like, crap, Zach has all these stats.
Yeah, I have all these stats on my stuff.
Maybe I should look it up, but I was too lazy. No, but it's gotten overwhelmingly popular reviews.
Gotcha.
A lot of people really enjoy this game, and I highly recommend this game. But you're basically a time traveler, and you have these three different mechs.
Okay.
So,
is it connected to FTL in terms of story? Okay, so it's just a different
game. It's just a completely different game. And then you are fighting off bugs.
Okay.
And you're trying to save the last bit of humans, and you're just trying to destroy all these bugs with your mechs.
Sure.
So you go to four different islands, and each island has different sectors. And with those sectors, you choose a sector, and it'll show you a grid map. And it's usually, I think it's 10 by 10. The grid will have buildings, and then it'll also have particular objectives. Like if you go to a sector and it's like save the coal plant, you're usually trying to stop the bugs from destroying this coal plant. And then you also have a power grid, and the power grid stays with you the entire game. If that power grid ever drops to zero, you're done. The game's over.
Okay.
So that's sort of like your life bar right there.
Is it like permadeath?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's a roguelike. You're permanently, everything's destroyed, but you get to save one of your pilots who gets basically warped out of the time, and they move to a new timeline, you're trying to save that timeline, which is pretty cool. It's an interesting thing because...
It's an interesting death mechanic.
It is, because each pilot has experience.
Yeah.
So they gain experience, and they gain cool abilities for when they level up, which helps them pilot their mechs. And so each time a building is destroyed, the power goes down. And you're trying to gain new power through the particular sectors that you're saving.
Okay.
And then at the end of an island, if you save like particular objectives like a bar or like rockets or bombs or something like that, they give you reputation, and you get to spend your reputation on upgrades for your mechs.
Okay.
And the great thing about these upgrades are they aren't, like, better upgrades. It's not like, you know, I have a punch that does one damage, and this upgrade makes my punch now two damage. The upgrades are how you play the mech. So if my mech has a punch, I could have an upgrade where I can toss a enemy. Now, the way the game plays is... You get to do your turn,
sure,
and the bugs will basically telegraph what they're going to do. So the bugs will move, and it'll say, hey, this bug is going to shoot this building on this grid. So if you move the bug, he's not going to actually shoot the building. He's going to shoot wherever you moved him.
Sure.
Because a lot of the damage that you can do, you can actually move things around the board. So it's kind of like a puzzle game. Not more of like a mech fighting game, because you're moving particular bugs or enemies. Or there are some mechs that specialize in damage where you're just trying to straight out kill those bugs. Because you have five turns, and after the fifth turn, all the bugs go away. So
just have to survive.
You have to survive, yeah. And again, the main importance, like, there have been many times where I have moved my mech in the way of a shot just to protect the building. Because my mech has, like, three hit points, the building only has one hit point. If I move my mech in, my mech gets damaged a little bit, but I saved people. Yeah, you save the people, and they cheer for you. Every time your mechs land down, gotcha. They're like, yay, the mechs have come to stop the bugs.
So is this another, is the art style, again, like 16-bit? Yeah, like, it's very little story. It's just like the background for...
Yeah, and the story is all through sort of the gameplay.
Okay.
Where you're trying to, like, each island has its own unique feel to it.
Okay.
Like, the first island's like Old Earth, where it's like this guy with a beard who, like... you know, runs the place, and it's very earthy and stuff like that. And then the next island is this, like, old lady who's kind of grumpy, and it's out in, like, the middle of the desert, and they do, like, terraforming and stuff like that.
Okay.
The third island's, like, in the Antarctic, where it's, like, a computer lady who's, like, trying to stop you from, yeah. And then the fourth one is, like, this chemical wasteland, where it's, like, this guy who seems to probably be from Apple or something like that. He's a slick...
He's got, like...
Yeah, the slick back hair. He
looks like a VC-type guy, yeah.
Yeah, he's all business all the time. but it's really cool because these upgrades that you get once you beat an island, you can spend your reputation, and you can change sort of how your mech plays.
Okay.
And each mech does something different. Like, there's a mech that punches... There's, like, an artillery mech that shoots, and you have to be right next to the person to punch them.
Okay.
There's another artillery mech that, like, fires arcing shots over things. And then there's, like, a tank mech that just shoots in a straight line. So if, like, there's a building in the way of you trying to shoot the bug, you're going to actually shoot the building first. Mm. The greatest thing, though, is when you move a bug where it was going to shoot a building, and it's actually going to shoot another bug. Like, they can, like, attack each other because they have a set thing that they're going to do, and they don't change it. So it's really cool when you move them around. And going back to the achievements, the achievements will unlock coins, and those coins you can spend to permanently open up new mechs.
So
you're replaying the game, you're trying to get these different achievements, and gain new mechs, which will allow you to get, like, different, more achievements.
Okay.
Like, I just unlocked these mechs that do fire damage. And one of the achievements is to have 5 enemies on fire at once. Which is pretty cool. Again, I highly recommend the game. It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Is it playable on Mac?
I have no idea. I mean...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I play everything on Steam, so... Yeah. But it's really simple. It starts off simple, but, like, the things that you can do are very complex. Again, it's more of a puzzle game than anything else.
Okay.
Like, it's a strategy. Yeah, it's a very strategy-based game where you're trying to, make the certain move to change particular outcomes.
Hmm. Okay.
And then there's one button that you can press that, because once you move your mech, you're locked in. Like, you can move them, do an action, and then you move your other mech, and you're like, oh, fuck, that just totally fucked me over. But you can't move that guy because you already confirmed it.
Right.
There's a button that just resets your turn, but you can only use it once.
Mm.
It's like a time reset. Again, it's very themed around, like, time travel and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so I really enjoy it. I put in about, like, 30 hours. I've unlocked a lot of the mechs. I think I'm missing two groups.
Okay.
Because they'll give you, like, 3 mechs in one group. So you start off with, like, one group of 3 mechs, and then you can unlock another group of 3 mechs, and so on and so forth.
Oh, okay. So it's like a booster pack type.
Kind of, yeah. But, I mean, it's predetermined.
Yeah, but...
And it'll give you a little description of, like, what the typical theme of the mechs are. Like, the one that I got was, like, fire themed. There's another one where...
So is it random, or do you get to pick?
You get to pick.
You get to pick.
You get to pick.
Gotcha.
You can't, like, see the abilities of the mechs, but it tells you the description of what it does. Gotcha. Like, there's another one where when you deal damage to... or when you kill a bug... You regenerate.
Okay.
But all of their attacks do, like, massive damage, but they do some damage to the mech as well. So you're sort of managing damage and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Again, great game. These guys keep on coming out with like fantastic ideas that are pretty amazing and kind of change the way that you play games. And I really enjoy it. And I keep on looking out for any more of their games. I mean, they've only put out two, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's another game I've been playing.
Okay, cool. So the last thing that I had was we watched 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
Which is the sequel to Cloverfield.
Yeah.
It's not connected to it in any way.
So it's not really a sequel?
Well, so...
I mean, sequel in name?
Sequel in name, like, apparently they're wanting to do an anthology film series where something always has Cloverfield.
Yeah, then they put out a show on Netflix, right?
A movie on Netflix, Cloverfield Paradox, and then Cloverfield Overlord, I think, is coming out later this year.
Overlord, ooh.
I don't know what the thing is there, but... Cloverfield Lane...
John Goodman's in that, right?
He is. Yeah. He's probably the best part of that movie because...
Is he in it a lot?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. He, you don't know if he's just a crazy person.
Yeah.
Or if he's actually keeping them safe from an alien invasion. Mm. Who knows?
Who knows? We might actually watch it after this.
Yeah, we might actually watch it after this. Unless you can read these notes, because I do keep notes for the things that I talk about.
No, I don't.
So, 2016 is when it came out.
Okay.
They spent $15 million on this movie.
Yeah.
Which is pretty low, but there's only one location, and it's because it's in a bunker primarily.
Yeah, so...
So really, a lot of that is special effects towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then paying for John Goodman.
Yeah, I'm sure his price tag.
He's probably a pretty hefty price tag. How much do you think it got back?
God, I keep on getting all these wrong. I'm going to shoot for 32 million.
110 million.
Ah,
so keep close. On getting... Close.
Not close at all.
Well, I mean... It's closer than nine. If it were to make like 900 million, I would have been like, no.
Well, good. So it made quite its.
It did. I mean, it made enough back for them to justify making.
True.
This wasn't actually. It was produced by Abrams, but it wasn't directed by him.
Okay.
He made it off of a spec script that someone wrote it. Did you know what a spec script is?
Why don't you explain
it? Okay, all right. So a spec script is a script that's just written on speculation. Mm-hmm. It's an original script, not adapted, and a lot of times if you were to send that into a studio, they would send it back with a big bright red stamp that says, did not read.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to get sued if...
Yeah.
Yeah. So evidently someone who works closely with J.J. Abrams got this to him and he decided to put it into production. Because that's typically how spec scripts work. Like someone's someone's assistant will give him a script or like, oh, I know Ridley Scott and let me give this to the Scott-Free production house. And, but yeah, like it's...
Alien jumps out of chest.
Yeah, like it's... Good. It's... Because it's all... corporate now, they don't want to get sued if there's any sort of infringement, so you almost have to know someone.
Yeah.
Whereas up through the 70s, I think it was pretty standard for spec scripts to just be mailed into somewhere and the studio go, yeah, sure, we'll do it. But then the 80s, they started turning into these corporate warehouses.
Yeah, where they're like, let's not get sued.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's better than the original. Did you see Cloverfield?
I did see Cloverfield.
I didn't like it. I love kaiju movies, but that movie just does not do it for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, what? You get to see the... Spoilers. You get to see the monster, like, for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
When he chomps down on that guy. Other than that, it's, like, moving from one location to another location, screaming, and having a shaky camera.
Yeah.
Because that shaky camera... was a lot worse than the Blair Witch shaky camera.
Oh yeah, Blair Witch shaky camera is.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Cloverfield one is far worse.
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams' justification for this being in the Cloverfield franchise mm-hmm. was that it's a blood relative to...
Blood relative?
Yeah, blood relative. I don't know what he means. A blood. Because, like, if he's just going, okay, well, there's a horrific monster in this movie, mm-hmm. and there's a horrific thing happening in this one, it's like, okay, so is Seven related to Pacific Rim, then?
Yeah, because there's monsters there.
There's horrible monsters.
There's
a monster in terms of a serial killer. I don't know what I was going for with that analogy, but... it would probably be cut, but
don't cut these things.
I can't cut your
bad jokes.
I don't understand his logic for saying it. Like, if he wants to make an anthology franchise, there's no shame in that. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean
that opens up the door for other spec scripts to be adapted.
And the thing with Cloverfield was they kind of left it open ended, like because at the end of the movie you saw something else get shot into the ocean where there could be even more monsters.
Yeah,
just you know, don't make them into Godzilla Raptor monsters. Do you remember that Godzilla 2000? Yeah. Where there were baby Godzillas.
It was right after Independence Day, but yeah, it was around that millennium, like...
It's where Godzilla got, like, really in shape, super skinny.
Yeah.
Looked like a...
iguana.
Yeah, or a velociraptor.
Yeah, they also turned him into a woman.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, yeah, because it laid eggs. Yeah. And then they turned it into a cartoon. There was a
cartoon. Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah,
where, like, Godzilla's, like, fighting other monsters.
Teaming up with,
and, like,
teaming up with the humans.
Yeah.
He even gives, like, a human a little fist bump. Which is super dumb.
Which, I mean, in the 70s, they had, what was it, Gadzuki? There was a Godzilla cartoon in the 70s where Godzilla's son, which they call Godzuki, it's bad as well. It's just a different type of bad.
It's those 90 cartoons. Or I guess it was 2000s. Yeah, I guess it was during that same cartoon era with like the Jackie Chan cartoon. Do you remember
the Jackie Chan cartoon? That was fun.
That was good.
I would totally watch the Inspector Jackie.
Yeah. That was a very good TV show. But I remember them running during like the same time with you had like the animated Godzilla and he had his little babies and stuff like that. But in the movie, the babies looked like velociraptors. I don't know if it was a big thing with Jurassic Park.
Probably because Lost World came out in 96.
Yeah.
The movie came out summer of 98.
Yeah.
So, and this show I'm seeing came out in September 12th of 98 and is a direct continuation of the 98 American Godzilla film.
Yeah.
So I guess it also came out in 98. Yeah. But.
Well, yeah, Godzilla got a
continuation because Godzilla dies in that spoilers for this 20-year-old movie.
You should probably say the spoilers before.
Yeah, well, it's 20 years. Fuck them if they're anywhere.
I don't know. I mean, it's an animated TV show. They could be like, Godzilla came back from the grave and now he's helping out humans.
or like, oh, these things grow really fast, and this was one of the eggs.
Eggs that they raised, or something along those lines. Yeah, but yeah, I just remember Godzilla being super skinny, like looking. Very anorectic. Like, he needed to eat a couple more burgers.
Well, I think
giants.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were going for more of like an iguana look.
Yeah.
Because, like, the American, the legendary
mm-hmm.
one that came out a few years ago, which I like, the Japanese apparently don't like it because they say that it's the American Godzilla is fat.
Yeah.
But that Godzilla looks like. I can tell that it's meant to look like it's an ancestor of, like, alligators.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like a dinosaur.
Yeah. And going back to the whole monster movie stuff, it was a guy in a suit, so it had, like, a very...
Yeah, it had to...
Look like a human, kind of. And the suit was big, so Godzilla was big.
Yeah. I love those old Toho monster movies.
Yeah, me too. With like
Mothra, Rodan.
Yeah, Mechagodzilla.
Those are the next two coming out.
Really? Huh. Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of the most recent Godzilla movie. what you were talking about?
Oh, the one with
The guy from Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, with Bryan Cranston?
Yeah. That's the one we were talking.
Yeah, there were some letdowns in that movie, but I think overall I really liked it.
Yeah.
I just love kaiju movies, and I like watching these giant things beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, and that was my issue, was like, they would get to that good part, and then they would pan away from it. It's like, I want to see Godzilla, you know, doing Godzilla things. Yeah. I don't care about these people. And that's why I really enjoyed Pacific Rim. Pacific Rim was good. The first one.
Yeah, the first one. I kind of want to see the second one, but like we were talking off mic about it earlier, but like it looks like a cash grab for foreign markets. Like it doesn't look like it's meant to appeal to American audiences.
Yeah, with the otaku or the gaiju stuff.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have the original director.
Guillermo del Toro.
He is not directing it, and compared to the combat of the older Pacific Rim, a lot of it was a lot of heavy fighting, where the mechs looked heavy. A lot of the movements were heavy, and the monsters were, you know, moved slowly and things like that.
Which makes sense, because in terms of physics, like, the larger something is, the slower it is.
Yeah.
And it looks, there's a visceralness. Visceralitude.
And you're going to, like, line up for that punch, and when that punch hits, like, it's going to be a magnitude sort of thing. With this movie, the combat is very similar to Transformers, where it's very fluent, and it's a lot of movement, and mechs are doing, like, flips and things along those lines, which it's like a mech's this giant heavy thing, but that's just me being
grandpa.
No. All right, so next week we'll continue into more.
Yeah. All right, so contact us on Gmail, backrowsupershow@gmail.com.
That's right. Stop sending me texts, or not texts, stop sending me emails about the expansion I missed, because I retconned that right here. You heard it first.
Website is listenbackrow.com. Did I ever give you access to?
No,
okay, all right, I need to send you that. I'll cut that out, probably not. I probably won't cut that out. Listenbackrow.com. You're right, that's censorship.
I know.
Will leave everything on tape.
And you know what? They can see a little bit behind the curtain.
Yeah,
a little
exactly.
bit behind the curtain.
This is messy.
Give it a little bit of a peek.
Made.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Or you could put on some clothes so I don't have to see that sausage.
Yeah. Hey, callbacks.
Anyway.
So, if you want to give us money for doing other things, we could get better equipment, better hosting.
Yep.
We could start maybe doing videos.
Maybe.
At a certain threshold.
Yeah.
Maybe also doing some. I kind of want to do a Studio Ghibli, like, chronological coverage.
Yeah, gosh.
For Patreons only, or patrons only. So go to patreon.com/backrowsupershow.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
All right. Bye. Stop riding sun, sun. If they don't stop the clicking clack, I'll jump in the undertow penguin pack and drown in my way.